Blog Talk Radio.
Yourself. How's everybody out there? Peace and blessings. I'd just like to say welcome, welcome, welcome once again to an episode. We got a very impactful show for you tonight. You know, last week we had Dr. Phil Valentine on, but tonight we have somebody just as strong. We have his wife coming on, Melani Valentine, Dr. Melani Valentine. Okay, so people, all right, because we got quite a few calls last week, quite a few people up there. Thank you for your participation. But let me say this. We want to dedicate, I know by now everybody knows, we want to dedicate this episode to a befallen sister. As you well know by now, you know, one of Malcolm X's daughters passed away. All right, so I'd like to dedicate this episode to Malcolm's daughter. All right, and for future reference, me and our brother Rashad, everyone's familiar with Rashad. Rashad went to, we were talking to Dr. Leonard Jeffries. If you don't know who he is, you need to Google it, brother. He's been a part of the resistance for a long time. He's been a revolutionary, all right, and he's a renowned historian. We talked to him. I'm getting the date he's coming on. The brother's real deep in history, all right, so stay tuned. Once again, a shout out to all my people who've been supporting me. Ms. Deborah Gaskins, Ms. Dawn Lewis Roberts, also Ms. Terry Nashville, I was talking to her last night, Karen Watley, Ms. Jada Earl, Myrna, Joyce out there, they know who they are, all right, and Ms. Gayla Gibson, all right, hope Daryl James is listening tonight, all right, shout out to everybody that supports, big time, appreciate you. If I miss somebody, you know, I'm going to give you a shout out a little later on. Because I have to get to our first guest. All right, the brother's waiting online. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. If you guys remember, he came on. He gave one part. I told you I'll bring him back. But ladies, listen, for the ladies online, you're in for a treat because this brother can sing. He wants to open up with a little melody, and the brother can sing, all right? So ladies, listen up now, all right? And don't be texting me asking me to get the brother's number now, all right, because it ain't that tight. This ain't the dating game, I tell you. If you're looking to get spiritually uplifted and motivated, all right, then this is the channel for you. This ain't Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd. Cartoon Network. We already know that. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'm going to bring on my dear brother from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Giorgio. Giorgio, you there, brother?
I am.
All right. That's my man right here.
Boy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you been, my brother?
I've been doing swell, brother. I've been doing swell, man. I hope I do y'all some justice today. I'm not coming on here to sing today.
Wait a minute. I thought you said you want to sing a ballad. Oh, you changed your mind?
No, I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, y'all, you know what?
No.
I'll tell you what happened. See, he said that if he don't juice ginger in the morning, get those vocal cords right, he ain't singing. Mm-hmm. So he must have forgot the juice today. Mm-hmm. So that's what's up, you know. But go ahead, Georgia. You got the platform, brother. Go ahead and talk. I ain't going to say nothing else. I'm sip on this green tea.
No, I could sing, but that's not what I'm here to do today.
Okay.
I'm here to complete what I did start last week when I did not have my music. And I do have my music, and when I get through talking, I will definitely. Matter of fact, you know what? You got that song queued up over there for us?
What song is that, Jamal?
I sent Forrest a song, you guys, called A Double-Minded Man.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wrote that song about the police brutality and the double-minded situation that police find themselves in because, you know, they have a code of conduct, and then, of course, they have the other part of the game that they have, which is, you know, you better not tell on us or we won't come save you when you find yourself in a bad situation. So they got their little quandary. But what I was going to talk to you guys about today, you know, the first time I got on here, I spoke to you guys, ended up talking to you guys about what was on my heart. And at that time, what was on my heart was that the media is the enemy. And I extensively communicated about how the mechanism is set up and, you know, that the counter to that is, you know, the mechanism that God set up. And so what the media does is use God's mechanism in us to create things that are just absolutely just not true and shouldn't be perpetuated about our own self. The power of the spoken word, that's the one of the powers that God gives us, the power of the spoken word. Another power that God gives us that I was going to talk about today is the power of unity. And like I said at first, you know, these things have been on my heart, and I appreciate Brother Forrest for giving me an opportunity to platform these things. And keep in mind, these are my views. You know what I'm saying? They're backed up by my beliefs, and I'll give you some of those beliefs, and I'll share some of those things with you as well that I'm basing them on. But these are things that I believe to be true. These are things that I see to be true, and I have not come up with a solution. So if you come up with a solution with these facts, at least you're looking at it from the same perspective that I'm looking at it at. And just because you and I see the same thing differently does not mean that either one of us are wrong. If I'm standing on one side of the street and you're standing on the other side of the street and it's a 6 in the middle of the street to me, it might look like a 9 to you. But it doesn't mean that either one of us is wrong. It just means that we see it from a different perspective. So if you don't agree with me, that's fine. I guess that's what I'm saying in a nutshell. But the truth of the matter is that the power of unity is the mechanism that the machine that we put together when we agree. And the goal of, at least from what I see, the goal of whatever this machine is, the goal is to try to inhibit us from getting on one accord. And once we get on one accord, when we unify, then we have things like Tulsa. We have whole communities like Harlem and Renaissance. We have movements like the bus boycott, the Million Man March, you know. And by the way, you know, heads up, Black Friday. You know, Black Friday to me means black people, Black Friday. You know, we spend the most money. You know what I mean? We control the trends. You know what I mean? And we are part of that machine right there. And shoot, you know, ball your fists up. You know, when was the last time y'all did that? When was the last time you, like, balled your fists up and was like, soul power? I'm just wondering. But, yeah, you know, big ups to Black Friday. I'm embracing that. But, yeah, unity. I think the goal is, and this is why I see a lot of gentrification going on in areas and stuff like that, because when we get a neighborhood, you know, the streets start looking bad. You know, the poverty start looking a little bit. The streets start looking a little worn. You know what I mean? And people start believing that it's the people's fault. But we don't own no street sweepers. They just stop sending them through those neighborhoods for a while because the goal is to gentrify. And the gentrified don't do nothing but split that neighborhood up because you got a lot of older people there and you run their house value up from, you know, $65,000 to $280,000. They're not going to be able to afford the taxes. And then the next thing you know, you expand the sidewalks, you put some more extra lighting up and make it a place that people like to walk at night. And you got a lot of yuppies moving in. And then the area is quote unquote gentrified because now it's too expensive for the original people to live there, and it's too expensive for new people to move there, so that black neighborhood is dispersed. And that pocket where money used to go in and stay in that they used to call the black community is not really a community anymore because now it's a high-end area. And we move farther out, you know, from the hub. And so I wanted to gather my point. And my point is the second power that God gives us is unity. And I don't just say that from the shoulder. It comes from that. It comes from Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, where these people, right, who have come from the flood and they started to multiply and have kids and then kids having kids and they start to move and they come to this big plain, you know, and even though God told them to disperse, they made a decision that they was not going to do it. They made a decision that instead of going left or right or back or forth or anything like that, that they was going to go up and they was going to exalt themselves. So they built a structure, starting first of all, the ability to learn how to bake bricks. All right, they come up with this, and then they take a mile of land to build the base, a mile of just the base of it, and they start this huge tower that they're going to build to go up and be like God, to get a name like God is what they want to do. And then, but that none of that stuff is the important part. The only important part is 11:6, where God says, look at them together. There is nothing they cannot do. Now, this ain't your uncle at the barbecue. This ain't cousin Bobo at the barbecue saying you could do anything. This is the creator of everything saying that united, there is nothing we cannot do. And with that and in that also is the unity to run the last part of the game, which is the creating. And so I want to thank you guys for your time and appreciate You guys allow me to come with you and share with you the second power. I want to thank you for coming to the ATM, a teaching moment. allow me to plug in here on Brother Nance's show and share with you the second power. The next time I'll share with you the third power, I'm doing them in reverse order. And next time I plug in, y'all plug in, we plug in to the ATM, we will explore the third power. Now, Mr. Nance, if you got my song queued up and you could just hit play, if your man got my song queued up and we can hear a double-minded man right now, if it would play right now, that would be perfect. But it's not going to play. If this world were mine, I would place at your feet all that I own. You've been so good to me. If this world were... Thank you very much, Forrest, for letting me be on your show.
Hey, you know what happened? When you sent it to me, see, I should have given you, remember when I talked to you, George, I was asking, can you send it in MP3 form? So when you sent it to me, remember I told you I heard it, but I don't know how to send it to my technician. I should have given you Jay's MP3, but that's okay, brother. Look, you're coming back. So that's not a problem. You know, we're gonna make sure you got a little music. You just did a little a cappella. You know, you did a little.
That's all.
You did, hey Giorgio, you did a little persuasions there. You know what I'm saying? That's what that was. You know, persuasions. I ain't never known them to do. And what's the other group? Take Six. They didn't do music, did they? Yeah.
Take Six. They was an a cappella group too. Yeah.
Yeah. They were good. You know what I'm saying? So wait a minute now. I mean, I was running you to about 7:30, brother. You finished that quick? You good? Or you want to say something
it's
else?
Just,
you got time?
It's just a plug. I mean, I do.
Well, go right ahead, brother. You got the 7:30 before we bring Michelle on. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, look. All right, let's me and you interact then on what I've said so far. Let's do that. What do you think about what I've said so far? Let's do that.
Well, you and I talk, you know, off the line, you know, and like I said, you know, I'm in total agreement with you. Like I said, when we had a conversation earlier, we were both basically on the same page with what you were saying. I didn't disagree with anything, or we didn't go back and forth with a difference of opinion.
I was I want to hear a solution, you know.
A solution?
A solution.
Wow.
Yeah, a solution.
I think
unity,
you know,
is something we got to get a grip on.
Yeah, and you were talking about the gentrification, too. So, listen, we got that going on over here in Newark. Areas over here in Newark now, all right, because we had an abandoned building down in downtown Newark on Broad Street. Now, it was the old Griffin building. We had Haynes when it was, you know, live down there, heaven on earth. People in the area remember those stores down there. You know, you want to get dapper, you went to heaven on earth, Joe Camellia, Gentry. So, what happened was when they closed down, the building was shut down for a long time. And when Cory Booker, before he became senator, he was the mayor of Newark, he was over here talking about Whole Foods because he's a vegan. He's a corporate vegan, by the way, y'all. You already know that. Ain't got nothing against Cory. He's just a corporate vegan. That's all. He got that you-know-what money behind him, all right? Don't nobody call me anti-Semitic. But the only thing I'm saying is now in that particular area of downtown Newark, behind us, they shut that area down for a while. Then next thing you know, they got the scalpels up, and they're doing stucco down there on Central and Halsey Street. Now that's all you see. I go to Whole Foods because, you know, I try to eat as healthy as possible. My podcast always knows that. You and I talk about nutrition, you know, short, briefly, Giorgio. So now they got the people, like you said, the yuppies, they walk in the little dogs and the little Yorkies and the Terriers, they walk in there early in the morning. The area has changed, and they're moving in. And don't get me wrong, because you know what? A brother made a good point. He said, you know, and we talk about gentrification now. I can only speak for Newark and the surrounding areas because Brother Rashad is in East Orange, which is like East Newark, but it's a different city, you know. Shout out to my man Ted Green. He's the mayor up there, great martial artist back in the day. He still is. That's one mayor you don't want to mess with, y'all. He'll kick you like Van Damme real quick. He's still good. But the only thing I'm saying to y'all is that in this area, because they already offered, my brother has a house here in Newark. They already offered him, all right, money for property that we now have, my father's houses, no can do. We don't know how to keep wealth in our community and with our culture. Mm. And remember now, when, what's my man's name, the brother that had BET?
Mm-hmm. I remember when he sold it to, I can't think of his name, he sold it to
y'all remember.
The Japanese.
I remember he made a, he said, looking back on it, he wished he wouldn't have sold it because they done watered down BET now. I remember you telling BET, and basically everything was, you know, dealt with the culture. Now you see these, and no disrespect, y'all, to my white fans out there, no Caucasian our family, all right, family, I say Caucasian because I'm not prejudiced, but now you see these white evangelists on, and they're talking, but if you notice when they got them on, a lot of their population in the church is black, you know, and whatever you do, they took him off. I haven't seen him in a while. Remember Benny Hinn used to come on, and these people would roll up in wheelchairs, and he'd touch them, and he'd, oh, I can walk now. I can see.
Right up.
I can hear, this got to be one of the, and guess who was in there?
Who?
Most of our people was sitting in there.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. If put it like this, I wouldn't care if they pull Harpo Marx up. Jackie Gleason, if he was touching people and all of a sudden they could see, I'd be right there in line.
You'd be in line, huh?
Be in line, brother. Be in line, okay? Because, see, here's the thing. It's one thing, I think, to say that we don't sell property, and I say that myself. I don't sell property, you know, because, you know, if there was a building that opened up in the neighborhood, we need to be trying to gather enough money to purchase that spot.
Right.
So we can keep, because you can't buy no place in Chinatown, you know.
No.
And we don't have a root, you know. We're like those trees in Florida that stand up above the water, the banyan trees, and they stick out above the water, like maybe, you know, 2-3 feet, and sometimes they start clinging together, they root. And they'll break away, and they'll just be a big island, but they won't be attached to nothing. They'll just be floating like a big giant island on the ocean, and that's how we are. We are set adrift. We have been separated from where we were. And so because of that, we can't move to another country. Like people say, oh, well, I'm from China. We got...
Hello? Hello?
Boss, his call got dropped.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, he's going to have to call right back. Say,
okay,
call
put
dropped.
Me back on. Okay. All right, testing 1-2-1-2. Giorgio's... Yeah, Giorgio's call got dropped, y'all. So he's going to have to – Giorgio, I don't know if he listened, if he got back in that quick, but I hope he calls back in so we can finish the conversation with the brother. Now,
He's back.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. We got to bring you back in, brother. I was getting nervous. I thought you didn't pay your bill, brother. Go ahead.
No, I paid it, brother. I paid it full.
Okay.
No, I was saying the difference is, though, is that when a Chinese person, for instance, comes into this country, they've got China right here.
Right.
You know,
right.
The whole town, the signs are Chinese, the culture in that town is Chinese. We don't have nothing.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Right.
And so we don't have a place where I can go and just get soul food. You know what I mean? And those places that you can go that's like that, they brand them on the media that they're unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
They're unsafe to go to. And so, you know, consequently, that stops us from patronizing our own business. It brings down our property value. They come in and purchase that property. They raise the prices. They split us up. And then we do the same thing again because we're going to pull together. It don't matter what you do. We're going to pull back together.
because that's what we do. So it don't matter how you spread it, it's still going to pull back together. But it's like that. And then I find out, because I'm talking to this brother in England this morning, and they got pockets like that everywhere in Europe of black people in, like, little, you know, hoods type spots everywhere in the world. I just think that's, I don't know. I mean, well, not everywhere in the world, obviously, but, you know, everywhere in, like, Europe and all the different, in, like, Germany and well, from what he was saying. So I just thought that was rather, profound. That that everything.
You, once again, brother, with that analogy, I agree with you. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I say, I always tell people, there's not been one Chinese restaurant when I used to eat like that. Not one Chinese restaurant have I seen a black person behind a counter near that register ringing up an order. All right. Now, don't get me wrong. And most of the time, most of them have hired a family member to get on that bike and deliver those orders, okay? Very rare will you see them hire outside of their culture. And there's nothing wrong. Family, understand what I'm saying, in case we got some of my Asian constituents listening. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody ought to have their ethnic pride and making sure that others are served, but at the same time, you know, there's a chain of command. It's first love of self, then your kind, then others, because you'll never be respected by other cultures unless your thing is together. Unfortunately,
well, I don't know,
George, we're stereotyped.
Can we say it like this? Because it also says in that exact same scripture, the same scripture where God says, and that just trips me out, where God says,
well, you're reading out of the Bible, right?
Right, out of the Bible.
Okay.
Matthew 11, verse
11. Okay.
He says, God says, no, not Matthew, I'm sorry, Genesis.
Okay.
God says, look at them. Together there is nothing they can't do. But before that, he says, speaking the same language.
Okay.
See, when people invite people from other countries, the reason why they trust them so much is because they speak the same language. You know, if I come and I'm Spanish, when I step up to you, if you speak Spanish, there's a fellowship that's there. If I'm in Europe and I'm on the Euro and I'm on the Euro train and I hear somebody talking from down the other end of the train, they could be a blood. I could be a Crip. We're gonna reach each other in the middle and make purple, because we're gonna be shaking hands.
Oh, there you go.
Man, how you doing? I'm so happy to see you.
That's the paint mixture. Right. No, I'm speaking about, when I say an ethnic pride, I'm talking about what we celebrate as a people with a rich history. All right. Like I said, I don't discriminate, because the guy that does my videos is my man John. He's Irish. All right, my man, one of the coolest white guys I ever knew, owned the gym that I trained at for 25 years, John Kemper from Diamond Gym in Maplewood, New Jersey. All right, so no, there's no prejudice bone in this body. I judge a man, like Dr. King says, not by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. So once again, Giorgio, I see eye to eye on you. You just pulled something out that I can agree with. There's certain things that we cherry pick. Just like you mentioned the Bible with Genesis or with Corinthians, by the way, shout out to Ms. Deborah Gaskins from the Visionary Trailblazers, because one for her, I would never met Giorgio. I always talk about networking, okay? So the bottom line is that we all should get together, and like I always say, like we was talking earlier today, Giorgio, the OJs, Love Train, all aboard, get on board. That gets back to that, I guess, that fluidity where we all have the same language. That's the love train, okay? I don't care if you speak in. Sometimes, you know, funny thing is, George, I'm trying to remember that movie I saw a while back where they couldn't speak English, the other person couldn't speak their language, but they felt each other. See, that's the spirit that we have as a people. Like you said, if the spirit is well-meaning and accommodating to both people, sometimes you don't have to speak the language. You learn, you know, from that person, you know? They might point to the stone, and then you know that whatever they're saying in their language means stone. After a while, you could pick it up, and then you say stone to them. They know that that's your language. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're right. Once again, brother, I agree. Ladies and gentlemen, you see why I bring this guy on? Not because we agree on everything, because sometimes we will agree to disagree. But the brother, what's the name of my podcast? grown folks talking. We both grown, me and his brother. And we're expressing ourselves. That's what we're going to do. And he's going to write the jingle for that next week, y'all. So if you don't have it on next week, y'all, I'm going to give y'all his email. Y'all get on him about this. You know, this is my brother from Atlanta. I never met him. But you know what? Hopefully, the most creative keeps me here long enough, because you never know when you're going to go. Look at Malcolm's daughter, 56. They said she died from natural causes. Now, I can't question that, but in a way I do, because that's still young. I like to know what that system, you know, never know what the system might have went through to die. I'm 64, all right? I'm blessed to be here. I'm sure Giorgio can say this. I can say this. Rashad can say this. Michael can say this, all right? And y'all out there in podcast land, it says, you got people we went to high school with in here, passed away 10, 20 years ago. So we're fortunate to still be here, okay? So that's why I bring this brother on, because I was introduced to him. And like I said, I'm not bringing y'all no cartoon characters on this line. This brother said something that I hope touched you, so that this way you can express yourself. That's why for the longest, from day one since I've been on here, because, you know, Giorgio, I got a couple, and I appreciate my podcast audience. Now, you know, I'm not trying to repudiate them or get them to get a bad taste in their mouth like they sucking on a lemon over there. But I try to let the people know, listen, call in, express it. You know, because we want you, it's good when you can exchange ideas with each other. We network.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you, family out there, if I didn't meet Deborah Alexander through Miss Crystal Allen, guess what? Giorgio wouldn't be here right now, unless I just happened to go down to Atlanta and run into this brother and we start talking, okay, and found out what he was all about. Because listening to the brother, I had to bring him on for you, to inspire you. Everybody is not going to be expressive. There are people who are just great listeners. There's nothing wrong with that, because I learned to shut my mouth, because I could talk a mile a minute. I'm long-winded. Okay, but I learned to shut my mouth when it's time for me to say what I need to say. So, Giorgio, this is what we're going to do, brother. What time you got over there, Giorgio? I'm not even in my phone. What time you got?
I don't even know, man. I'm hanging out with you. Hey, look, but I want to come back.
Hey, y'all, you using somebody else's phone. You didn't pay his bill. Go ahead, brother.
I just want to say, just one more time, just have me back one more time. I want to plug the ATM in one more time and make sure that I round this three-parter up when you get a chance to work me into the wonderful schedule here at the Forest Nance Express.
There you go. Yeah. And you know what? This will be my jingle, man. I'm telling y'all from now on, this brother, it's a pleasure knowing him. Like I said, I get a chance, we're going to have to board a you know what, Giorgio? We're going to have to find a plane that will allow people who didn't want to take this shot, this jab, all right, to be able to fly with a mask on, all right, and even though you're giving your brain oxygen deprivation, and maybe they could, you know, ventilate it a little much more, but, you know, and then we're going to get down to ATL, you know, and I'm going to have to visit this brother, man, because like I said, that's what we do. That's what we do.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
So I want you to stock. Exactly. And I want you to stock up now. So you got plenty of time to get the Whole Foods, stock up some nice vegan food, all right, and get a sister down there, or you know, and maybe she like to cook for us. And I'm not being chauvinistic, ladies. Don't say Far's got a lot of nerve. You know, nobody burn like you sisters. I'm going to tell you right now. Now, that, for the sisters that don't want to cook, fine. I ain't got nothing against you. I ain't mad at you. Maybe you're good at something else. I don't know, you know. But only thing I'm saying is, with this brother right here, all right, we're going to bring him back again, and he's always welcome, and you're going to hear his voice on my podcast, because he's going to do my jingle. So would you like to give the people on my podcast, in case you want to reach out to you, Brother Giorgio, your contact information?
Yes. My name is Giorgio. Thank you, Brother Forrest. I sure do appreciate that, man.
I appreciate you, brother.
I am reachable on YouTube. Hey, as Giorgio, look for Giorgio on YouTube, and you can see some of my stuff there. And then I guess just click something on the tree and go to something else. You know, don't be shocked at what you see. There's gonna be more and more stuff piling up on there as I continue to communicate with brothers like Forrest here, who keeps pushing me, Deborah, who keeps pushing me, hey, you can do some more, write some more, do some more, sing some more. And so I will write some more, do some more, sing some more, because
yeah,
that's the gift I was given. So I'm going to share mine, and then I'll be waiting to soak in y'all's gifts.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, on that note, before Georgia goes, it's like you heard it here first, all right? On November the 26th. I want you, the 27th, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm sorry. But on the 27th of November, I want you to remember, I know all y'all saw that movie, The Five Heartbeats. I'm going to get with Giorgio. He's going to find somebody, we're going to find somebody, we're going to get a group together. Watch out, I'm telling you, because we're going to be sounding good. We're going to put something together for y'all, mark my words, all right, because I like to sing, Giorgio likes to sing. We just got to find two other brothers. So if any of y'all out there are little songbirds, you know, yeah, there you go. That could be the George. That could be the name of one theme of one of our songs. We're gonna put high blood pressure. What you need to do to avoid it. You know what I'm saying? And we'll do that. Yeah. So with that being said, brother, listen, Giorgio, I thank you for coming on tonight. Peace and blessings to you and the family, brother. And we're gonna stay in contact. You know, we're gonna talk, ladies and gentlemen. This is my man, Giorgio. We're coming right back with our dear brother Rashad before we bring on Sister Valentine. She comes on at 8 o'clock. Rashad up next. Peace, brother.
I shoot my gift. I do this for the love and not for the fame. By keeping it real and staying true to the game. That's why I'm always brainstorming, always in hustle mode, always on top of my game, throwing these lyrical body blows. Back in the day, I used to write battle rhymes all the time. Now the only thing I'm battling is a messed up system that's trying to stop my people from listening to the realness. Afraid they might feel this and take off some skinny jeans, put back on the red, black, and green, and elevate themselves to be kings and queens, the natural being, and live out their purpose to the fullest extreme. This ain't hate music, it's love supreme, and we manifest the movement by any means. Trying to waste mine, so every time I spit, lyrically divine, just want to use what the Most High gave me to keep my people like that mental slavery. I recognize the system ain't designed for us, so naturally they want to see us self-destruct, but we rising above.
All right, people, we're back. All right, without further ado, before we bring on our sister Dr. Melanie Valentine, who's Phil Valentine's wife, we have our dear brother Rashad Alamin. Brother Rashad, you there?
Yes, sir, brother.
All right, brother. The platform is yours, brother.
All right. Again, I thank you, my brother, for allowing me this time to share some information. And thank you to the listening audience. I hope everybody's fine, doing okay. And also, Brother Forrest, you know, we had that conversation with Dr. Jeffries today. And we were able to contact Dr. Jeffries because Brother Wally Hakeem, who's a good friend of Dr. Jeffries, and he was able to give me the contact, and I'll be looking forward to him being a guest on your podcast, Brother Forrest, because the brother is an excellent historian. He was professor of African Studies, and the information he shared with us today was a podcast in itself.
I'm sorry, because we talked to that brother for about an hour. And once again, before I forget, Brother Rashad, I'm glad you mentioned it, you know, going back and forth talking to Giorgio. Thank you. I want to give a thank you and a big hand to Brother Wally Hakeem. Thank you, Brother Wally, for that information, because we're going to make it happen. We have to call Brother Jeffries to get the date tomorrow. So thank you so much.
Okay, so, yes, it was very enlightening what he shared with us, and I just can't wait to He becomes a guest on the podcast. And I'm telling say to everybody, you got to tune in and listen to this brother. If you want to hear some real history, oh, you're going to be rewarded that night. Believe me. Be tuned in. And I was listening to Brother Giorgio speaking, you know, and it made me think about this book I have here. It's called Black Labor and White Wealth by Claude Anderson. Claude Anderson is a brother who's a businessman, and he wrote such an excellent treatise here. And I think everybody should look into reading this book. He's got solutions in there. It can answer a lot of our questions. And on the back, I'm just going to read the back here, on the back cover, it says, Dr. Anderson examines the methods whites use to gain wealth and power, but more importantly, he provides examples of ways blacks can adopt some of those same methods to build wealth and power for themselves. Black labor, white wealth is provocative and powerful. And that was written by Tony Brown. You know, he was the host of Tony Brown's Journal. Mm-hmm. And then William L. Clay, member of Congress, 1st District, Missouri, he wrote that Dr. Anderson methodically outlines and articulates strategies for blacks to become a self-empowered people in America despite the obvious injustices imposed on them throughout much of their history in this country. And lastly, Elliot S. Hall, a Fortune 500 company executive, he said, Dr. Anderson's work is probably the most analytical treatise on the African-American experience ever written. So like I said, the book is powerful. And, you know, when we look at our communities, we got to realize that we have to take charge of our own communities. We got to care about our environment, our surroundings. You know, I know you mentioned your friend that lives on your block who cleans the street every day. Sometimes we just can't wait for other people to take care of business that we should be doing ourselves.
Right.
You know, we should look out for our own surroundings. Keep our surroundings clean. Make them look nice, you know, and attractive, you know. And you know, if things are falling apart with the house, try to fix and repair these things, you know, and things of that nature. But we got to love our communities. We got to respect our surroundings. We got to respect our neighbors. We got to learn how to treat each other. And if we become united with the same mindset to move forward and progress, we will be successful. There's no doubt in my mind. But people have to wake up and let go of the ignorance, let go of all the partying and having fun all the time and not being concerned about your own communities. No, I love my community. I love where I live, and I care about my surroundings. I'm going to take care of my own block. That's the way I am, because I'm not going to let things go down on my block. And I'm going to definitely let the politicians, you know, when we need something, let them know. Listen, we need this done. We need that done. We pay our taxes, you know.
Right.
But anyway,
right.
I just wanted to touch on that because the brother did mention about community. And I thought this book that everybody should read, Black Labor, White Wealth by Claude Anderson. That brother is he's an excellent speaker. He goes around the country speaking, and believe me, his lectures are so good. They are so good, believe me. I don't know if anybody heard of Claude Anderson, but Google Claude Anderson, and believe me, you will enjoy his videos. He talks about business. He talks history. He mentions so many good. He's even written several books. He's got several books. He had a couple books on history. Okay, so, you know, just to let you know, this man is a good person who cares about his family. But anyway, I know I don't have that much time, but I just wanted to mention a little something when Dr. Phil Valentine was on, which I really enjoyed that program. I thought that was an excellent program. And he mentioned Dr. Masaru Emoto, who has written a book called Hidden Messages in Water. And this is a powerful book. And it just shows you, you know, how thoughts affects your body, because your body is basically like 70% water. And your brain is like a sponge full of water. But he goes into a lot of detail on how thoughts and water, how the right thoughts can send those messages in water, where a microscope, you can see these crystals form. Beautiful crystals will form when you have the right thoughts. When you have the bad thoughts, it shows you ugly formations in the water. It's really deep. The pictures and everything in here. And these crystals look like snowflakes. They look like beautiful snowflakes. You have to put them under a microscope to actually see these things. But he wrote a beautiful book, The Hidden Messages in Water, and it is a New York Times bestseller. I just want to say a few things. Do you hear echo for us, or am I all right here?
No, you're okay. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can hear the echo, my voice echoing. Anyway,
yeah, I'm good.
Okay, he starts out, he doesn't actually start out, but I'm just going through a few of these pages because I want people to just understand what he's trying to say. He said, we start out life being 99% water as fetuses. When we are born, we are 90% water, and by the time we reach adulthood, we're down to 70%. And if we die of old age, we'll probably be about 50% water. So in other words, you know, throughout our lives, we exist mostly as water. And we are the same makeup as the earth. The earth is about 70% water and 30% solid, okay? So we're made up the same way. And, you know, there's such a, you know, this is me speaking now, a connection between us and water. If you ever go to the ocean, the vibrations are different. I mean, the water energizes you. That salt air, the ocean, everything energizes you. You feel better. You know, I notice a lot of people that live by the water, by the ocean, they are healthy. They look healthy, they're active, they're always busy. I noticed that about people that live near the ocean, okay? And that ocean air is so clean, and it feels so good. Every time I go down to Wildwood, New Jersey, my wife and my family, even my wife, she'll be out there all day on that boardwalk, walking back and forth. And, you know, that boardwalk is a two-mile boardwalk. And she'll be out there 3-4 times a day on that boardwalk, you know, she just gets so energized, you see. So water, you know, like I said, we're made up of water, and it's just a beautiful thing when you understand the human body, understand what the water represents. But he's saying here in the book, I'm going to quote, he says, water in a river remains pure because it is moving. When water becomes trapped, it dies. Therefore, water must constantly be circulated. So the water or blood in the bodies of the sick is usually stagnant. When blood stops flowing, body starts to decay. And if the blood in your brain stops, it can be life-threatening, unquote. This is what he said in there, okay? Makes a lot of sense, because a lot of us, we are stagnant, okay?
Yep.
We are stagnant. Mm-hmm. Our blood is stagnant. And that's why we have so many complications, okay? And then it also says, if we lose 50% of the water in our bodies, we can no longer maintain life. Water carried by blood and bodily fluids is the means by which nourishment is circulated throughout our bodies. This flow of water enables us to live active lives. Water serves as the transporter of energy throughout our body. Did you hear that? Water serves as the transporter of energy throughout our body. Not Mountain Dew, not Sprite, not Coke, not Pepsi. Okay? A lot of our people are filling themselves up with sodas. These things are damaging to the body. It's creating all kind of problems. A lot of you are what they call soda-holics. Okay? Soda-holics. You're buying two liter bottles and two or three of them a day. Killing yourself. Your body's not trying for soda. It's trying for water. And there's another book called The Many Cries, Your Body's Many Cries for Water. You are not sick. You are thirsty. Don't treat thirst with medications. And this is written by Dr. F. Batman Gellage. Okay? Another excellent book. We should read that book because it shows you many of your ailments is because of lack of water. And sometime in the future, I want to actually quote from this book and give you some information because this thing is a thorough book. He explains everything so clearly. And if we just take heed and just start drinking water, water is important, clean water, okay? Let go of the sodas. Let go of those sweetened fruit juices. And get back to drinking what God put in your body, water. You're made up of water, so you need water in order to live. That's why most people don't drink enough water are sickly. They're sickly. But water is very important, brothers and sisters. Don't sleep on it. You should have water first thing in the morning. First thing you should have is a glass of room temperature water. So it can go right down to your colon, okay? Because you have two valves open. The pyloric valve and the cardiac valve are open, so the water goes straight down to your colon to help flush out some of that mess that's in there. And so we have to have a clean colon, and that's going to be another topic in the future I'm going to talk about, the colon itself and what we should do to keep a clean colon, because that terrain, if it's filthy, you don't attract all kinds of diseases. And if it's clean, okay, you're going to be having vibrant health, you're going to feel good, you're going to look good, and you're going to be energized. So that's important too, brothers and sisters. So keep that in mind. Don't just sit here and put things in your body that's just going to destroy you. Learn how to drink water. Very important, okay? And hopefully most of the listeners are doing that because we spoken about diet and water and all those things in the past. So we got to keep that going. Now, I just want to say a couple more things. I know the sister's coming on, and I want to hear her, you know, and I'm sure she's going to share some powerful information, and we should all sit and listen to her when she comes on, okay? So this is very important. Now, he's done experiments with the water, okay? And just to show you words, you know, which are vibrations. Everything in creation is a vibration, okay? And everything works on a frequency. Your organs work on a different frequency, but everything has a vibration. I don't care if it's the chair you're sitting on, it's made out of wood, it has a vibration. Everything is vibration. So, you know, in his experiments, he showed how water was exposed to the word thank you, which formed beautiful hexagonal crystals. But water exposed to the word like fool produced crystals similar to the water exposed to heavy metal music, which was malformed and fragmented. Okay? Even music. okay, affects the water. Affects the water, the type of music you play. The vibration of good words has a positive effect on our world, whereas the vibration from negative words has the power to destroy. Okay, so like I said, we're made up of water, and depends on how you speak, your thoughts are, you can make your body sick, or you can make it healthy. Okay, now, the individuals and society make up one enormous ocean. By adding our individual drops to this ocean, we participate in the formation of society. Okay? Every one of us. You know, we participate in the formation of society, just like the water, like the one drop and or many drops that go in there. So we all one society. We all one as people. Need to come together and start treating each other right and start speaking words that heal instead of words that destroy. And water is the mirror of the soul. It has many faces formed by aligning itself with the consciousness of human beings. So what gives water its ability to reflect what is in the people's souls? In order to answer the question, okay, you got to understand the existence is vibration. So the entire universe is in a state of vibration, and each thing generates its own frequency, which is unique, okay? Each thing, I don't care if it's a rock or a plant, all of them have a vibration. Even plants have feelings. There's a book called The Secret Life of Plants written by Peter Tompkins, and it shows how plants have feelings. That's why if you have plants in your home and you show them love, even talk to them, okay, they stay healthy, and they last for years. They stay with you for years. I have plants in here I've had for years. They're not sick or anything. They're healthy. I show them love every morning when I wake up. I talk to them. You understand? It's nothing crazy, okay? Just like I would talk to a child or anything. And so those vibrations coming from me, they pick up on it, and it keeps them healthy. And they also showed some tests they did with plants. They had certain plants in the room, and they one plant they would show love to, and the other plant they would ignore or say bad things to, and the ones that say nice things to, they always stayed nice, they grew beautifully and everything, and the ones that were ignored started to die. So, you know, this shows that everything's connected. So, just like the earth, the universe is one verse. We're all connected. We're all one. We're connected to everything. Trees, they communicate with each other, believe it or not. They have their way of communicating with each other. Everything communicates. Everything in nature communicates to us. And we got to learn how to read nature, okay? Because nature is our open book that we can learn from. If we don't study nature, if we don't look at nature and try to understand the Creator, because the Creator is in everything in this universe. It's in you, it's in the plants, the water is everywhere, okay? God is not just something that is sitting up in the sky somewhere in a chair looking down at you. That's just nonsense. Nonsense. I mean, if people want to believe that, that's okay. You can believe in fairy tales. It doesn't matter. But I just want to share that. Anyway, I know my time is out. It's already 8 o'clock, brother. I just wanted to share a little. But next, we'll speak more on this. And hopefully everybody is on to listen to the sister and what she's going to share, because she's going to share some dynamite information. So please stay tuned, brothers and sisters. Don't leave us.
That's okay, right.
Thank you, brother.
Anytime, my brother. You'll be hearing Rashad anyway because he's co-hosting with me along with Brother Michael in just 1 second. Jay, do we have 6702 up there yet? Hold on, family. Waiting for my technician to get back in touch with me. Brother Jay, 6702 up there?
One second, 6702. Okay. Yep.
They're there? Okay, you can bring the sister in.
Yep, they in.
Okay.
6702.
Yes, Melanie? Yes, I've been. Actually, right, I've been here for 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. I would have brought Rashad, because Rashad always has his own set. I brought him on. He said, brother, I'll talk about some more today or whatever, you know? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Sister, I would have brought you on earlier because we were looking at everybody. But anyway, I'm not going to talk you to death. I'm going to bring you on. Jay, Rashad, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and Brother Jay, I need you to bring 8932 on. That's Brother Michael Collins. Is he on?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we're ready to rock now. Podcast family, it is my pleasure to introduce to you, and if I'm saying anything wrong in terms of pronunciation, she will correct me because she got it like that. Sister Dr. Melanie Valentine. Did I have it right, my sister?
Melani.
Melani. I see.
Melani with an N like Nancy.
I'll never make that mistake again, my sister.
Not a problem.
Peace and blessings. Before I go on and we ask questions, or whatever you like to say is fine. You know, I was given a format. Mm-hmm. I know Phil had mentioned that he wanted us to, you know, quiz him on stuff. But also, we talked to Dr. Leonard Jeffries. He told me from him and Roslyn to give his regards to you and Phil.
Oh, my. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Because first I asked him, did he know you guys? He's like, who's Phil Valentine? And he started laughing. We knew he was joking, you know. And he said he credited you because he said when he knew Phil, Phil was all over the place. Then when he met you, he stopped being all over the place. That's what he said. Like they say, behind every good brother, there's a good sister or a good man, good woman. So I need not say any more. But Brother Rashad, do you have a sister for, or do you have a question for Sister Melanie, by the way?
Well, I'd rather her go into the topic, and then if I have a question after that, that'd be fine. But the topic, Sister Valentine, excuse me, is it on essential oils?
Actually,
is it on essential oils?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, yeah. Actually, the topic is that you are not a helpless victim, that your health is in your own hands.
Oh, okay, great.
That's the topic.
Sounds good.
Now, he mentioned essential oils because in my book, Seven Steps to Healing and Wellness, using essential oils with the Kybalion as a guide, I talk a lot about essential oils, but that's not the whole crux of the conversation. For such a time as this, the conversation is the fact that we have our health in our own hands, and we're not a helpless victim. And by the way, I didn't just start saying that because of what's going on in the world today. My book was written in 2006, and I've been saying it way before then, that our health is in our hands. We're not helpless victims.
Okay.
So did you have questions on that, or did you want me to I would share with you the principles. I would think that the principles of the Kybalion and the Seven Steps to Healing, which is my book. I'll talk about that at first, and then any questions, we can go farther. However, the purpose of the conversation for me is to help our brothers and sisters and family know that, like I said before, and I'll say it one more time, you are not a helpless victim. Your help is in your own hands. And what do I mean by that? I mean, that should be very obvious, I would think, that the decisions that we make, the thoughts that we think, will determine the outcome of our lives. And a lot of the time, we feel helpless because of what's happening on the outside of us, what's happening in the world around us. For instance, if you are a healthy person and you have a strong defense system, we call it a defense system because in hygienic science, we recognize that we are really not immune to anything. Sometimes I will say the word immunity because people understand that, because they're accustomed to hearing that. However, a defense system is really what we have. And when your defense system is very strong, someone can cough in your face and you will not get ill, no matter what they have. So how is it then that we are feeling like victims? We're feeling like we have no control. We're feeling, well, there's a lot going on in the media, and there's an agenda beside that, and I am not going to be political because I am not a political person. So I will leave that there. However, the point is that you can protect yourself, and you can protect your family by making the right choices and by having a lifestyle that gives you peace. And when you have peace in the mind, you have peace in the body. And when you have confidence in the mind, you have confidence in the body, because your cells are listening to your own thoughts. Okay, so I always talk about the, and I teach this particularly for baby boomers, I talk about the five pillars of health. And I keep them very simple so that we don't forget them. Okay, so the five pillars of health are think well, eat well, drink well, move well, and sleep well. Those are the five pillars, and I'm sure that they're not new to anyone who's listening. When one of those is off, then everything is out of balance. Everything is off. So we start with thinking well. What does that mean? Thinking well. That means thinking the thoughts that make you feel good. And that sounds very simple, and that's because it is very simple. Nature is not complicated. Health is not complicated. It's very simple. Some of the things that you mentioned, Brother Forrest, about water, and that's one of my favorite books, by the way. You're not sick, you're just thirsty. That's one of my favorite books. So drinking the water, that's one thing. However, thinking thoughts that make you feel uncomfortable will bring more thoughts to help you feel even more uncomfortable. You ever notice how when you are feeling sad, for instance, and someone comes along and they say, "Don't feel sad," and you almost want to say, "What do you mean, don't feel sad? I'm feeling sad because I have every right to feel sad." And then you're going to go and tell every reason why you feel sad. And that's giving you more momentum to think in the same way. Now, when a person is in a good mood, it's easy to say, think good thoughts. Think, happy thoughts. Think thoughts that make you feel good. Think positive thoughts. It's when something happens outside of yourself that you feel you have no control over, you begin to think thoughts that make you feel uncomfortable. And that is your guidance system. Now this comes from the teaching of Abraham, by the way, which I call the teaching of the ancestors. So when a person has a feeling that they don't feel right, and they don't feel right, listen to that feeling. That's a good sign. That's a sign that lets you know, something's not right here. Now the question is, what do I want? This is showing me what I don't want. So now, what do I want? And then you can find the thought that can help you move more towards where you are going. So in the teaching, in these teachings of Abraham by Esther and Jerry Hicks, you'll find that it takes 17 seconds before one thought will match up another thought. So you mentioned vibrations. You mentioned that everything is vibration, and indeed it is. And so when you're thinking a thought that's good, or let's say a happy thought, a pleasant thought, and you hold that thought for 17 seconds, another one is going to come to match it. And before you know it, you are on a roll. You've got momentum in that happy feeling. But the same thing in the opposite. If you, something happens and you're uncomfortable and you don't like, somebody said something that you don't like, they said something and then you thought a thought. And then if you hold that thought for 17 seconds, another thought's going to come to match it, another one that's vibrationally equal. And before you know it, you are on a roll and you've got momentum there. Now, and the way it was explained is that when you are at the top of a hill and you have a truck and you just tap that truck just a little bit and let it start to roll. And before it really rolls, you jump in front of it and it kind of bumps you and stops. That's a good time to stop. But don't let it get on a roll down at the bottom of the hill and don't get in front of it and try to stop it there. And that's what happens when a person is feeling badly and they're really upset or angry and you come along and say, oh, don't be angry, think happy thoughts or think pleasant thoughts or you can change your mind. It's not so easy because you have the momentum going. That's the Mack truck going down the hill. So what we want to do is, before you get momentum, be so conscious of your own thoughts that when the thought comes, you can recognize, because of that guidance system that you have, when something doesn't feel right, you can recognize, oh, that doesn't feel right. Let's switch that energy right away. Am I making sense?
Yes, yes, very much so.
Okay, so that's only one out of so many ways that we can begin to pay more attention to how we're thinking, and more, and even more importantly, how we're feeling. And I don't mean, oh, he hurt my feelings, or she hurt my feelings. That's not what I mean. I mean, when you've got something going on internally, you know when something doesn't feel right.
Right.
You know when something doesn't feel right and you go ahead and you do it anyway and then you pay the consequences and you say, you know what, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, I had this little voice said, that's not such a good idea, but I didn't listen. So now we get to listen more, and that's going to help us tremendously. Okay, so thinking in ways that are going to be pleasant, not just for you, but pleasant for everyone. Because when you're feeling well, you tend to attract more of people who are feeling well. And when you're complaining, you're going to line up with and attract more people that complain. And you'll find more to complain about because then you're on that roll. So that's one way of thinking about thinking well. And then there's eating well. And there's a whole, you know, there's a plethora of books on how to eat, what not to eat, what you can eat, and all kinds of diets, which don't work, by the way. Diets don't work. In fact, I have an event, a free Zoom call on every Wednesday, very brief, 25, 30-minute conversation with Inez Gracie, who is world traveler, world known. She and I have a Zoom call, and it's called Tea for Two and You. And this Wednesday coming, the conversation is about ditch the diet. And that's one of the things that we were talking about. And then, of course, we'll talk about how to eat well so that you don't have to diet. And that's the key. When you are eating well, everything works better, obviously.
Sure
and
does.
Your thoughts, yes, and your thoughts are clearer. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean to eat well? Because eat well in one society may not necessarily be what you would call eating well. And yet, it works for that society.
Right.
So, what we want to do is just make sure that we're eating enough of the foods that will nourish our body. So, fruits and vegetables, we know, will nourish the body. They're called micronutrients, right? Fruits, vegetables, berries, they're micronutrients. They do the cleansing and the nourishing. And by the way, everyone doesn't have to go on a, quote, cleanse to cleanse the body. The body cleanses itself when you are drinking copious amounts of water. And how much water is that? Half of your weight in ounces. And if you are, unless, of course, you've got kidney issues, and then your doctor will help you with that, or your health care practitioner. And if your urine is clear or lightly yellow, close to clear, you know you're drinking enough water.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that water is so important is that, so of course, we're talking about two of those pillars now. We're talking about eating well and drinking well. And you mentioned many reasons why water is good for you. A lot of people recognize that water is good for cleansing. However, what a lot of us don't recognize is that water is essential for the electrical conduction of the brain. Remember, you know, water is a very good conductor of electricity, right? And there's a lot of that going on in the brain. Water is very important for you to even create the hormones and the digestive juices that take care of your body. So the water is good to drink, as you mentioned, when you first wake up. I have 18 to 20 ounces immediately when I wake up. And then before a meal, it's good to have water. And even during a little bit, it's okay. However, after a meal, it's best not to drink a lot of water after the meal. But before and even during, that works as well. So back to the diet, which is, you know, we're ditching the diet because we know it doesn't work, but your nutritional intake. Why is it that everybody is saying, eat fruits and vegetables, eat more fruits and vegetables? It's not that everybody has to be a vegetarian. Everybody does not have to be vegan or vegetarian. It's just that flesh from an animal, whether it's fish or a chicken, it doesn't matter, or a cow or a bull, flesh has no fiber. And so the fiber is what helps the body to, well, first of all, there's a lot of nutrition in the fiber that people slice off and cut off. And then, for instance, vitamin C of an orange, 80% of that vitamin C is in the peel. Most of us don't eat the peel. And that's why we recommend the fruit and veggie capsules that we have that have that. However, fiber helps to cleanse the colon. And without that, you can have that backup and you can have some serious issues, because then you've got gut issues and some of that waste actually ends up back into your bloodstream and into the body. So it's very important to have fiber. There was a time when we used to juice a lot. However, we don't recommend juicing anymore. We recommend blending instead of juicing, because when you're juicing, you're cutting out all of the fiber, and that leaves you with a lot of excess sugar. And that's another one of the benefits of fiber. It slows down the glycemic index. It slows down the ability of the sugar to get into the bloodstream. So it's important to have fiber. And foods that have fiber are your vegetables, your fruits and vegetables, and your grains and your beans and legumes like that. So we've covered so far, think well, drink well, eat well. And then we have move well, which is, of course, exercise. People don't realize how important exercise is. Particularly in our communities, we have a propensity for high blood pressure, cancer, diabetes, and stroke. And diabetes, although it's very common, does not mean it's natural. And it's a very serious and can be debilitating, and it can take you out as well. It can blind you. Now, why is it that we have diabetes? Well, we have a lot of stress in our lives. And in our communities, we tend to have more stress than in other communities. And that is going to be covered in my next book, actually. There's a psychologist I'm going to interview in the book. And so what we found, there is a study called psychoneuroimmunology. And what they have found, and I know it's no surprise to us or to our brothers and sisters who are listening, is that what goes on in the society affects your consciousness and affects your health, and it actually affects your ability to your defense system, your immune system, your ability to protect yourself internally from illness. The stress that we are under is so high that it makes us more vulnerable. And then when we, of course, have food choices that are unhealthy or that can be chosen differently, I'll just put it that way, then we are more susceptible to those things. We're more susceptible to heart attacks because of the stress that we're under. Okay, so eating well involves eating more fruits and vegetables. And did you know, by the way, how many fruits and vegetables are recommended as a daily recommendation? And when they talk about a daily recommendation, they're talking about the least amount that you can have before you begin to get ill for lack of that nutrient. Okay, so can you guess how many fruits and vegetables one should have every day?
Well, Michael Rashad, you want to take a stab at that? Because I have no clue. I just know they said variety.
For me,
okay,
as many fruits and vegetables as you can consume, stuffing yourself. And I eat vegetables.
Okay.
And so to me, it's not really a limit, but I know the the FDA or whatever, they give you the least amount, like you were saying.
Right, and do you know what that amount is?
I forget exactly what it is, but it's so little. It's at the bottom of the chart almost.
Well, I can share with you. It is 9 to 13 servings every single day. 9 to 13. It wasn't that way 10 years ago. They were saying 5 to 7, right? Now 7 for children and 9 for adults to 13 servings. Why is that? Because they're finding that, first of all, like I mentioned, the fruits and the vegetables today have lost up to 80% of their nutritional content. So whether we are healthy, whether we are vegan, whether we're vegetarian, whether we're whatever we decide, however we decide to eat, nobody's getting what we think they're getting from the fruits and vegetables that we buy, right? So I thought I was so healthy. I ate very well. I've been studying nutrition since 1968. And I'm nutritionist thinking, oh, I'm so healthy. However, in 1996, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was told by more than one doctor that my only option was surgery, which thankfully I didn't have. I was introduced to Dr. Valentine, and he taught me to heal myself. No drugs, no herbs, and without a lot of vitamins. Using number one, proper thinking, and number two, proper nutrition. However, that's what made me go back to school to become a doctor myself, because I wanted to know why it is I got that diagnosis.
Right.
Contrary to popular belief, it's not your genes. If your mom and your dad and your aunt and your uncle and grandparents and everybody had, quote, it, that does not mean that you have to have it. And we have found in the past few decades that genetics play a very small role. They play a role, for instance, 2% up to 10%, okay? And even that, even if there was 10% active, those genes can be switched off or on like a light bulb, like a switch, okay?
Right,
they can be expressed or not expressed with lifestyle. And that's why I talk about the five pillars, because of those five pillars form the lifestyle of a healthy person. Eating well, drinking well, thinking well, sleeping well, moving well. Okay? So Dr. Valentine taught me to heal myself without drugs and, like I mentioned before, I went back to school and I learned so much more about the connection between nutrition and dis-ease that will blow you away, because in the medical field, we aren't taught nutrition. Now more than ever, they're beginning to have integrated medicine and people are coming around to think of it. But when you think of, for instance, the American Cancer Society, years ago, if you had a poster from the Cancer Society, it would say how to avoid, you know, avoid cancer, decrease your risk of cancer. And they would say, well, how do you do that? Don't smoke. And that was the most important thing they would say, you know, don't smoke because it causes cancer. Now, as of about maybe even 10 years ago now, lately, if you look at some of the Cancer Society's posters, what you will find are fruits and vegetables because they help to protect from not only from cancer but from all kinds of damage that goes on internally that we call free radical damage. So fruits and vegetables are extremely important. That's what we call the micronutrients. Then you do have your macronutrients, which are also very important, and that would be your protein and your carbohydrates and your fats. And the kind of fats that we have makes a huge difference. Okay, so I won't go too deeply into, because, you know, nutrition is a whole story in itself that we can talk about, and I just wanted to go through the five pillars. So just be sure to increase your intake of fruits and vegetables, and if you cook them to death, then you know, you've lost the enzymic activity, right? And the enzymes are what makes us alive. Humans, animals, plants, those three kingdoms have enzymes. Anything
right.
else, you know, the wall, the desk, the lamp, they don't have enzymes. However, we do, and we must make sure that we get enough enzymes. And that is why we have the whole food concentrates that I would share with you. If you could just, let's see, trying to give you the website, the right website. It could, you can go to my husband's website, which would be Valentine and the number one dot juiceplus.com. Okay, so I've been avoiding talking about what that is, because the company is an amazing company, and they like to keep the playing field level and fair. So not everybody gets to go on a radio show and talk about their product, and so that's why I don't do that. And so I kind of slipped right there. I'm just trying to find different ways. Oh, if you can just give us a call, that's the best thing. I didn't think of that. Give us a call at 800-847-1291. 800-847-1291. And say that you're interested in the fruits and veggies in a capsule or the whole food concentrates. And then I can give you much more detail on that. So that's 800-847-1291. So now we're talking about exercise. Exercise moves the blood. Exercise also, though, creates free radical damage, which means you need more protection, which means you need more fruits and vegetables. Did you know that our only protection against what we call free radical damage at the cellular level are the carotenoids that are in fruits, vegetables, and berries? The carotenoids. Those are the different colors, the colors of the rainbow. And why is this important? Let's say you are cold and you have a fireplace and you want heat. So this is the energy that you're going to burn to get, you're going to put logs in, you're going to fire it up, and now you've got some nice heat. However, if you don't have protection on the floor, there, a byproduct of that fire will be sparks and smoke, right? Sparks mm-hmm. and smoke. They, if you're not careful, they'll burn holes in your carpet or on your wood floor or even on your linoleum, if that's what you have. That's similar to what's happening inside when we exercise and when we metabolize and when we just go outside in the sun and even breathing and breathing hard. All of those things create what we call oxidative stress, free radical damage. We were created to handle that with lots of fruits and vegetables. However, because of the stress that we're living under, and that creates more free radical damage, because of the environment and all that we breathe in, and even sometimes we're even eating them, the chemicals and the toxins in the world that we live in create even more free radical damage. So we need more protection. And our only protection from that free radical damage are the carotenoids from fruits and veggies. So now we begin to understand a bit more why people say it's important to eat more fruits and vegetables. And so I'll leave that part there, too, because, like I said, you know, nutrition, we can go on. And then we started with, do you notice how each of the pillars depends on the other and they intertwine? We started talking about water, and then we talked about food and back to water because water helps you digest the food. And then we talked about exercise and how exercise creates free radical damage, and now we're back to nutrition because they all go hand in hand with each other. So we covered eating, drinking, thinking, sleeping was the one that we didn't cover. We covered moving well, which is exercise.
Exercise, right.
Right. So, and, you know, how much exercise? Everybody's different. Not everybody exercises every single day like I do, because I love it. You get in the habit. Everything is a habit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I don't share, after I healed myself of cancer, I thought I was so healthy. You know how health conscious people are with the nose up in the air. We don't think we are, but we tend to be very judgmental about other people because they don't eat what we eat or they don't know what we know, which is nonsense. However, that's the childish nature of human beings at times, unless we grow out of it and we learn differently. However, I thought I was so healthy, you couldn't tell me anything. Still, I had so much inflammation in my body, and we know that inflammation is at the basis of every disease known to man, inflammation. I had so much inflammation in my body. Now, mind you, I was eating clean, organic, juicing every day, 80% raw, juicing all that time, thinking I was so healthy. I had so much inflammation in my body that I lost range of motion in one of my hands due to arthritis, which was getting more and more painful as the years went by. That's when I was introduced to these whole food concentrates. And it didn't happen overnight because we are not, this is not a claim that it heals or cures you. And in my book, I mentioned that there's nothing you can take that can heal you. There are things you can take that can feed the body and that can help the body to heal itself. The body heals itself when you do two things. You remove obstacles to healing, and you give it what it's starving for. And a lot of times we don't know it's starving. For instance, a lot of us are overfed and undernourished. And even when I was doing all that juicing and eating all clean, my cells were still starving because I didn't know what I didn't know about the prodigious amounts of fruits and vegetables that the body really needs today more than ever before, right? So I began eating these concentrates, fruits and veggies in a capsule, and it didn't happen overnight. However, over time, I regained complete range of motion in my fingers. I no longer have the backache that I used to have. And I take these two-hour nonstop Zumba classes that have people a third my age stopping to rest. So I just made my 73rd birthday, and at 73, I have the vitality that I had when I was 30, and that's no joke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not because that's all that I did, but I added that to an already very clean regimen. That was part of the nutrition that added along with the other four pillars of health. So I want to make that clear. I'm not making any claims that these, whole food concentrates are going to all of a sudden heal you. The body heals itself when you feed it. And over time, as your blood improves, your health improves. So I hope that was helpful. We didn't get into the book, and that's okay. If anybody's interested, the book is 7 Steps to Healing and Wellness, Using Essential Oils with the Kybalion as a Guide. And So I'll just briefly, since I mentioned it, I'll just briefly tell you what it's about. There are, as many of our listeners know, your listeners and family, there are seven principles. Well, actually, there are more than that, but the major seven principles of the Kybalion are mentalism, that all is mind, the universe is mental, and then correspondence, as above, so below, vibration, all that takes form vibrates. There's a lot of movement going on there. I hope it's okay for your recording. Rhythm, everything flows out and everything has its tides. Everything flows out and in, by the way. Cause and effect, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. And gender. Gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. So those are the seven principles. And in my book, I created seven steps to go with each of the principles of the Kybalion. So for mentalism, I have step one, mindful living. And for correspondence, as above, so below, I have step two, which is agreement. And then, and so on. I won't go through all of them, but the seven steps will match the seven principles of the Kybalion. And then we talk about essential oils and how they can increase your vibrations and help you toward healing. So I hope that was helpful.
Very much so, my sister. And I want to thank you, but quick question, because my cell phone started blowing up over here with questions. Somebody hit me up. They want to know, what do you think about, because they said that they use it on a regular and kept them well. In fact, Rashad was telling me that he knew a sister that lived across the street from him that healed with sea moss. So I was wondering what, because we already know from what was told us, it has 92 of the essential 102 minerals that the body needs, sort of vitality. So what's your take on that? That was the question number one. It was a two-in-one question. And also, they wanted to know, what's your take? When they cook, they said they use basically coconut, organic coconut, unrefined coconut oil. So when you cook, or if you cook like that, they wanted to know what's your take on cooking oils. So when you said health,
excellent.
That's when my
Thank
phone
you.
Started blowing up.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the question. Your brother or sister who asked the question. First of all, sea moss obviously is excellent. Depending on the source, of course, because the sea has a lot of contaminants in it these days. However, remember, sea moss is one type of food. And a lot of people think, you know, if it's good, a whole lot of it is better. Actually,
no.
Tiny amounts of certain nutrients are better, and that's what you get from fruits and vegetables, for instance. You get the whole variety, and the body has synergy. It uses the synergy of all the different, not only minerals, but, you know, the vitamins, minerals, carotenoids, all of those things work together synergistically in the body. Sea moss is excellent because it has so many of the different minerals that work together. That alone, though, will not is not going to feed the body in the same way than if you added that, and a lot of people do add that. They cook with it and they add that to what they're doing, which is excellent. However, it is a concentration. And I am more on the hygienic side where I don't do excess, so I wouldn't have a sea moss every single day. I would have that maybe two or three times a week, and or more. It depends. Everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll leave that at that. Now, the next question, thank you so much for the second question, and that is about cooking with oils. I stopped cooking with any kind of oil decades ago when I learned that when you heat oils to a certain temperature, the molecular structure changes and it becomes toxic and even carcinogenic. So, however, we have found over the years that there are some oils that can take heat better than others. And, however, I just stopped cooking with oil altogether. Does that mean I don't eat oils? No. For instance, there is a very high polyphenol olive oil that I use. I just don't cook with it. I cook with a little water. And then when the food is done, I add the olive oil. Mm-hmm. And that helps me. I don't fry at all, ever, anymore, and that's been about maybe 30 years, because fried food is a definite cancer promoter.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It can be carcinogenic. So back to what I was saying in the very beginning, that your health is in your own hands. Our health is in our hands. The choices that we make can make a huge difference. Does that mean we can never, ever have anything fried? No, we don't have to go to the opposite extreme. If you decide that that's your lot in life, to never, ever, ever eat anything fried, then that's okay. I don't buy fried food. But I'm not going to lie. If I'm somewhere and somebody is serving some delicious-smelling French fries, I'm going to have one or two. I'm going to have one or two. But that's
okay.
Not something that we have every day. That's not something that we have every day, right?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, I hope that's helpful. I hope that answers the question.
It is. Brother Rashad, you have a question for Sister Melanie?
Yes, I just... something she said about thoughts. When you hold a pleasant thought for about 17 seconds and another one comes in to match it, that's so true. Because when you have a negative thought and you hold that for seconds like she said,
mm-hmm.
negativity, another negative thought comes and you just start to fall apart in a way. You understand? All of us experience that, I'm sure. When you have those mm-hmm. pleasant thoughts, another pleasant thought comes, it feels so good. You feel so at peace
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
When that negative mm-hmm. and another one matches it, it's like consistent, and you just feel miserable. And then you blame
somebody else. Right?
Yeah, then
it's like, he made me mad. No, he didn't make you mad. You made you mad.
You made yourself.
You let what he said upset you. So
yeah.
That's another whole, that's a whole field in itself. But
and
one
and
of the things that you said about, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish up. I'll get back to it.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about, I forgot what it was now. I lost my train of thought.
All right. Well, anyway, I'll say this. I also turned 73 just recently. And, yes, we're the same age.
1948 was a good year.
Yes, it is. I feel like I'm 25, 30 years old. I feel so energetic. I feel so youthful. I feel so good. You know, I wake up every morning. I do my regimen. I work out for about 2.5 hours, and I go about my day. And I'm telling you, when you just live like that and then, you know, have those good thoughts and do some reading and studying, you are so good.
It goes by so well,
you know, you do your prayers, you do your meditation. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. And your thoughts can make you sick. If you have the wrong thoughts, it can make you sick. I remember reading a book by James Allen, as a man thinketh. And he expresses a lot of that. And I thought that book was really good. I read that when I was a teenager. And it helped me out, you know, to change my way of thinking and all. But, you know, just saying my sister is correct. And we should eat some vegetables because that's what I believe in. And it keeps me healthy. The fruits are excellent. And God created, the Creator created everything in your fruits and vegetables in balance. In balance, okay? Not the man-made crap, not the GMOs, but the way the Creator made it is in balance. It's not too much of this, not too much of that. It's just perfect, just like the Creator is.
Yes. Yeah.
So once we're in tune with those foods, our body recognizes that, and that's what keeps us healthy, as opposed to putting a Dunkin' Donut in your body Popeye's chicken or something, you know.
Well, now, that's okay, because, you know, there are some of us in our communities who feel that that's all they can afford.
We don't want to put them down
Popeye's.
I'm not trying to put them down because, like you said,
so
they can afford. I'm just trying to.
It really isn't, but they think that's all they can afford.
Well,
we got to make that clear, too.
Actually, the fruits and vegetables are cheaper. But anyway, it's okay. I want to just thank you so much for sharing that information. And I did want to ask a question, but it's not doesn't have anything to do with this topic, but that new variant in Africa called Omicron. And I was, they said they named it after the 15th letter of the Greek alphabet. Now, I wonder why that is. And then also when I look up the word Omicron in the dictionary, it also has omega in parentheses, which is the 24th and last letter of the Greek alphabet, which means, you know, the end. So I was just curious. I wonder if your husband had looked at that and what was his interpretation of that, but hopefully one day we'll
have to ask him that.
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, if we have him on again, I definitely want to ask him that because, you know, just that word itself makes me think there's something up. But anyway,
we gotta get Phil back on a little later on. We'll ask him that. I know Rashad will store that, Sister Valentine. Also, Brother Michael, this is Brother Michael now. Brother Michael, you have something to ask Sister Valentine? Thank you,
Yes, I'd like to say two things. Number one, you know, I do a lot of longevity products, and you mentioned there are no that we don't pass on disease gene by gene. It's the choices that we make, and I'm in such agreement with that. The other thing is, in your book, you marry two things that I love. I love the Kabbalion. I've been reading that for about 45 years, and I love essential oils because I think they're gifts from God. Now, in your book, do you use multiple oils for each principle, or do you have one specific oil that you use for each principle?
That's so interesting that you asked that because the whole section of the book In one section, I go into several oils that would match the vibration of a certain thing that you're looking for. So, yes, a few oils, so either a neat oil, which is straight, or a blend. Now, this book, remember, was written a while ago, back in 2006. So I'm thinking, you know, you're always thinking, wow, I could have rewritten that and updated it. But no, I'm not updating it. It's just staying as it is. And there are those oils listed there in the book as well.
Yes. Now, my favorite oil is rose oil. And the one thing I want to say is that if anybody uses essential oils, if you're going to use it when you're bathing or anything, always put that essential oil in the carrier oil, or else you'll end up burning your body. But I love rose oil, and I could see rose oil being used through all seven principles. There are a number of oils like frankincense, which is very powerful. Spikenard I find to be very powerful. Lavender, of course. So I have to get this book because, as I said, I love both of those subjects.
Thank you. Thank you. You can get that from Lulu, L-U-L-U, lulu.com. And just put in Dr. Nalani, N-A-L-A-N-I. Or, you know, Seven Steps to Healing and Wellness. It should come up.
Okay.
At the time, I wasn't using my last name because Dr. Phil Valentine has been Dr. Valentine for a lot longer than I've been Dr. Valentine. So that's why it says Dr. Nalani.
Yes, and I'm good friends with Inez Bracey, so I know she's a very powerful woman. So I know that your show must be wonderful. You may have to tune in
sometime.
Oh, then
we're looking forward to seeing you, and you'll be able to see Inez as well on Wednesday.
Okay.
Wednesday, on that Zoom call.
Yeah, I'm going to be on along with Rashad and Brother Michael, so we definitely want to support you, sisters, you know.
I would have to send you the invitation. So we are on a Facebook page. I have a Facebook page called Healthy Happy Boomers. Healthy Happy Boomers. And on that page, every week I update and let everybody know and remind them that we're having the T for Two and You conversation on Wednesday at 1:30 in the afternoon. And that's Facebook, Healthy Happy Boomers.
Well, I know my podcast audience got that. They better have, because I always tell them to have a pad and pen ready. They mark that down. I know Brother Rashad got it. He always has pen and pad. I got it. In fact, I'm
all right.
Yeah,
now,
I'm friended.
If there are so many who are not on Facebook, if I may give you the Zoom ID for that.
Sure, go right ahead, sis.
So they would just go to zoom.us and just, you know, click join the meeting. And it would put in 873-5269-2286. Again, 73-5269-2286.
And also, family, when I was talking to Sister Valentine, since we're friends now on Facebook, I told her whenever she's ready, go ahead and post on Facebook, put it up there. So if the sister gets, because she's busy, she has a schedule, if she gets time, she could post on my Facebook, and most of my podcast audience comes to see you, my updated guests, or I'm having futuristically on my show, Sister Valentine. So if you get a chance, because I know you're probably aware of doing that. If not, I know the nieces and my nieces and nephews, they always show me up on Facebook. I'm still computer literate with a lot of stuff. So if you can, all you have to do, now I'm your friend on Facebook, post it. And family, just go on my Facebook page in case you didn't get that, or in case you don't have pen and pad.
Which Facebook page, brother?
As far as, with two R's, yeah, Nance, N-A-N-C-E.
Oh, it's your name, yeah.
Yeah, okay. My name, yeah.
Perfect.
You just go on Facebook.
Right, I will put that link there.
Okay, and make sure it says North New Jersey, because my son has the same name. We're the only two forests, I think, in the world that's on Facebook. So if it doesn't say North New Jersey, lives in North New Jersey, then that's my son's from Jersey.
It says North New Jersey, and I don't think your son, I don't think this is your son I'm looking at. I think it's you.
I have my hands in the prayer position, so that's me with the glasses and the fro there. Okay, that's me.
Yes. So on Facebook, again, that is Healthy Happy Boomers. Join us.
Yes. And on that note, family, we'd like to thank Sister Valentine for coming on tonight.
We've learned
a lot, and this won't. Hopefully this won't be her last time, because I'll stay in contact with the sister, and we're going on her thing this Wednesday. You know, Healthy Happy Boomers, don't forget, All right. And with that being said, Jay, we're going to let Sister Valentine go out with an applause, and I'm going to say something before we go off. I'm going to have a final thought. Thank you, Sister Valentine. Once again, peace and blessings, Rashad. Michael, you want to get a sister
peace
to peace?
Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you, my
Thank
sister.
You.
And may the Creator award you another 50, 60 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Valentine.
Okay.
Your information was very timely, and I know it's going to help a lot of people. And thank you for writing this book, The Marriage of Essential Oils and the Kabbalion, because I can't wait to get it, because I know the information is really going to help people heal and bring them back to their spirit and bring them back to nature. So what is the most powerful combination that there can be? Thank you.
All right, she's off. Before we go, I just want to say something real fast, podcast family. Two quick things, and we're going to go off. The technician, my man Randy J. Sean Jackson, he's on Friday night, all right, between 8 and 10. Same number, call in. You like something cutting edge? Well, Ray, he's the relationship girl. Check him out on Friday nights, and, of course, we'll be back next Saturday. And don't forget about the green tea. I still got that green tea. It's the most potent green tea in the world. Go on my Facebook page, order it. I'm telling you, it's the best tea in the world. In the meantime, thank you, Brother Rashad, Brother Michael. Peace and blessings to the podcast family. We'll see you next Saturday.
Paul Forrest.
Yes, sir.
Forrest, one more thing. Next week we're going to have Professor Paul Thompson on the podcast. So spread the word. You don't want to miss it.
All right, family. Y'all heard that. So Professor Paul Thompson, we got some more knowledge coming your way. Had them pad and pen ready. Have a nice week. See you next week. Be safe and eat well.
And sleep well.
Be with you.
And you too, my brother.
Okay.
Peace, everybody.
Peace.
I think we're still on. Jay, you there? We ended the show.
Yeah, I can still hear you.
I know. I think I wonder if Jay. Hey, Jay, are you there, brother? I hope the brother didn't fall asleep.
Right.
Yeah. I know Rashad hung up. Rashad, you there? No, Rashad hung up. Well, I'm going to hang up anyway. I'm going to call Jay back a little later on. But family out there, if y'all still listening, don't forget, tune in next week. Brother Michael will be introducing Professor, what's his name again?
Paul Thompson.
Paul Thompson. All right. We're going to bring you something impactful next week. All right. And Gayla Gibson will be on next week, too. All right. Peace. I'm about to hang up, brother. I'm about to make me a smoothie. And so either that or some green tea.
All right. You have a good evening.
Take care. You too, my brother.
All right. Speak with you.
All right.